Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Stotara Sarashi Srimad His Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Stotara Sarashi Srimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Jaga Host Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopina Sham Kundara Kundi Giri Gopadhan Ki Jai Sri Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai Sri Sri Ayodhya Dham Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ganga Maya Ki Jai Jamuna Maya Ki Jai Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Nama Sankirtan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Brihad Madanga Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Shri Garnitai Ki Jai, Shri Jagannatha Baladeva Subhadra Ki Jai, Shri Radha Girir Hare Ki Jai, Shri Shri Govardhan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Centennial Ki Jai, Shama Veta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chayvam narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam dato jayamudira yatnastaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. A reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 24th chapter, 38th verse. See if I can read the Sanskrit without my glasses. Nama Urja Ishe Troya Patoye Yagya Ritase Tripti Daya Cha Jivanam Nama Sarva Asatmane Nama Urja Ishe Tvaya Nama Urja Ishe Traya Pataye Yagyaretase Pataye Yagyaretase Triptidaya Cha Jivanam Triptidaya cha jivanam Nama sarvara satmane Nama sarvara satmane Nama urjai shetraya Pataye yagyaretase Triptidaya cha jivanam Namasar Varasatmane. Nama Urja Ishetraya. Pataye Yagyaretase. Triptidaya Chajivanam. Namasar Varasatmane. Nama Urjai Shetraya Pataye Yagyaretase Triptidaya Cha Jivanam Namat Sarvara Sadmane. Apologies. Shetraya Pataye Yagyaretase Vipidaya cha jivanam Namasarvara satmane Marjis Nama urjasa itaya Ataya yagyaretase Vipidaya cha jivanam Namasarvara satmane Nama Urjai Setaya Tiptidaya Chajivanam Namasarvarasatmane. Nama Urja Shuji. Pataye Yagyaretase. Dittidaya Sajivanam. Namasarvarasatmane. Namaha. I offer all obeisances unto you. Urje, unto the provider of the Pitriloka. Ishe, the provider of all the demigods. Traya, of the three Vedas. Pataye, unto the master. Yajna, sacrifices. Retase, unto the predominating deity of the moon planet. Triptidaya, unto him who gives satisfaction to everyone. Cha, also. Jivanam, of the living entities. Namaha, I offer my obeisances. Savarasa Atmane, unto the all-pervading super soul. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are the provider of the Pitrilokas as well as all the demigods. You are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of all three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. Responsibly. My Lord, you are the provider of the Pitrilokas as well as all the demigods. You are the predominating deity of the moon and the master of all three Vedas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because you are the original source of satisfaction for all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the living entity is born with this material world, especially as a human being, he has several obligations unto the demigods, unto the saintly persons, and unto living entities in general. As enjoined in the Shastras, Devarshibhu Tattva Nrinam Pitrinam. Thus one has an obligation to one's forefathers, the previous hierarchy. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so he can become free from all obligations to the pitas, demigods, general living entities, and saintly persons completely engaged and completely engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. As stated, Devarshipu tattva nrinam pitrinam nakinkaro nayam nrini charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihritya Kartam. From Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, 41st verse. One becomes free from all obligations to the demigods, saintly persons, pitas, ancient forefathers, etc., if one is completely engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Lord Shiva therefore prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he can be free from such obligations and entirely engage in the Lord's service. Soma, or the predominating deity of the moon, is responsible for the living entity's ability to relish the taste of food through the tongue. Lord Shiva prays to Lord Aniruddha to give him strength so that he will not taste anything but the prasada of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a verse indicating that the tongue is the most formidable enemy among all the senses. If one can control the tongue, he can easily control the other senses. The tongue can be controlled only by eating prasada offered to the Lord. Lord Shiva's prayer to Lord Aniruddha is meant for this purpose, triptidaya. He prays to Lord Aniruddha to help him be satisfied by eating only prasada offered to the Lord. Om Gyanati Miranda Sagananjana Sarakaya Chaksurun Maliham Jaina Tasmai Shri Guravena Mahasri Chaitana Manuvistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Padantiham. The first line? Within this material. Yeah, I was wondering what that was. When a living entity is born within this material world, especially as a human being, he has several obligations unto the demigods. I guess this is the older version, huh? Oh. Oh, really? There's a vast network of karma, we might say, when we come into this material world, when we're born within this material world. Sometimes, I guess in general, people think that little babies are innocent, or young children are innocent. But actually, it's a great punishment that we're carrying with us to have been born within this material world. And as we know, some are born rich, some are born poor, some are born beautiful, some are born not so attractive. Some live for a short time, some live for a long time. Because we understand that the workings of karma are very complex and very difficult to understand. But just to be born in this material world is a symptom that we have rebelled against the Supreme Lord. So we're not innocent when we come to this world. When some little baby dies, seemingly prematurely, we understand there's a karmic reaction. Some punishment has taken place. So, of course, Lord Shiva is very, very advanced. He's said to present, to embody 88% the qualities of Vishnu. He's a very, very powerful demigod. Not an ordinary person can ever be imitated. Srila Prabhupada said sometimes people try to imitate Lord Shiva by taking a ganja, because Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison. But Lord Shiva could drink an ocean of poison. He did, and he wasn't affected by it. So no one can compare to Lord Shiva, but as Krishna himself took on a spiritual master and a teacher, and Balaram, Lord Chaitanya, took on a spiritual master, he was also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva also, for purposes of instruction and for the desire to attain more and more purification, to be more solely devoted in pure devotional service, because he's great, he feels very humble. He's praying to the Lord to engage in full devotional service. Lord Shiva also has a very intimate relationship with Lord Krishna. When Lord Krishna manifested himself as Mohini Murti, the most beautiful woman in the universe, he was, as we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, he was playing a game, kind of an internal pastime with Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva became attracted by this irresistible form, a beautiful female form. This was an arrangement by Krishna. Lord Shiva is never actually disturbed, he's never sexually agitated. Even when his consort is becoming very, very intimate with him, even touches the private parts of his body, he's not agitated. But in order to teach a lesson to everyone, he became very attracted to this Mohini Murti, who was, of course, irresistible as a pastime of Lord Krishna. So he tried to embrace her, and every time he tried to embrace her, she slipped away, just disappeared, slithered away from his embrace. And then she began to run away from him. And Lord Shiva, apparently infatuated with this beautiful female form, began to run after Mohini Murti. And as they were running, the Lord in this female form ran before many great sages who were meditating in their hermitages. And as they were passing by the great sages, by the arrangement of Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva was passing Semana as if he were overly infatuated with sexual desire. And this was witnessed by the great sages. The arrangement had been made for Krishna not to bewilder Lord Shiva, but to instruct the sages, because they began to, in their meditation, they began to see this, they saw the spectacle, and they began to think, what is this? If even it appears Lord Shiva can be overcome by lust, what can I expect to achieve here? An ordinary living entity sitting in meditation, how can I be successful? So in order to teach them a lesson of how powerful Maya is, the Lord performed this pastime, and Lord Shiva was apparently bewildered, although he is never actually bewildered. But by the inscrutable arrangement of the Lord, because he's the perfect instructor, he was teaching this lesson to the great sages. And all the great living beings, not only like Lord Shiva, but all, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is mentioned in this verse. He has a great prayer, a great song about purification of the tongue. And his son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they all characterize themselves as imperfect, as very, very proud, very insignificant, very poor in their devotional service. Even Lord Chaitanya himself, he once said that I'm only a pretender. He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but playing the role of a devotee. He once said that I'm a great pretender. I act as if I'm a great devotee of Krishna, but actually I'm not. He said once that if I were actually devoted to Krishna, then I would not be able to even maintain life in this body. I would immediately leave this body. So I'm just a pretender, he used to say. So this is the humility of all great souls. They accept this position. Haridas Thakur also is very humble, even though he was a Namacharya of the holy name. He would not try to enter the temple of Jagannath because he knew it would cause social disturbances. So he felt himself unqualified, and he just gazed at the chakra on the top of the temple from his bhajan kutir. Prabhupada once told us that this is equal to seeing the deity. If you just see the chakra on top of the temple, it's equal to seeing the deity in the temple. So he was very satisfied with that. And out of his satisfaction and his humility and his great devotion, Lord Chaitanya personally came to see him. So he actually not only had darshan with the chakra, which is as good as Krishna himself or Lord Jagannath, but the Lord personally came to him personally and spoke with him in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as Prabhupada points out, in the living entities born in this material world, there are many obligations, as this famous verse says, Devarshi Bhutapta Nrinam Pitrinam. One becomes obligated in this great network. It's like a network, just like we have the internet. It's a big network. There's media networks that go out, and they involve millions and millions of people. There's also a network of obligations, a network of Maya. When we're born in this world, we're sort of bound up, just like we read about Bali Maharaj. He came bound up by his greed, and he was tied up with ropes. He couldn't move. So as we come into this material world, there are so many what we might call karmic obligations. We're obligated to our parents, to our forefathers, to all the living entities, to all the great sages, to the demigods, the rishis, the forefathers. And these are real obligations. But Gatomukunam Parichikartam, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam is that if one can become a pure devotee or engage in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then all these obligations can automatically become fulfilled. Lord Vishnu had asked Daksha at one time to, with his progeny, to progenate or propagate living entities all over the universe. But he became frustrated when his sons, the Haryashvas and the, what was the other group called? The Suvalashvas? Haryashvas and, what is it? Savalashvas. He had 10,000 sons, the Haryashvas and the Savalashvas, another 1,000 sons. Narada Muni, traveling all over the universe as a great liberated soul, instructed these sons of Daksha that they should become brahmacharis, that they shouldn't take families and progenate the universe as Lord Vishnu instructed Daksha to do. So he gave all the reasons why you should not get entangled in material life. You young boys, you should take this opportunity in early life, as Prahlad Maharaj instructed, from the very beginning of life, you don't have to wait. You can take the renounced order, or you can give up material life. You can make a vow. You can be a lifelong celibate. Of course, very few people can do this nowadays, practically impossible. But these are the instructions Narada Muni gave. They could be Nastika Brahmacharis. So this happened, and they understood that these were actually very intelligent instructions. And in this way, they were disobeying an order. We might say not only from their father, but from the order of Lord Vishnu. So this angered Daksha. He thought, my instruction from the Supreme Lord is being frustrated. What can I do? And then he criticized Narada Muni for instructing his sons to take this vow celibacy. He said, you're wearing the dress of a mendicant, but actually you have no right to do so because you're not following Vedic instructions. And he became so angry, he had a tendency to become angry, that he cursed him. And his curse was that because he was not acting properly, he was wearing the dress of a mendicant and he was giving wrong instructions, that he would have to move throughout the universe for all eternity. He could never stay in one place for more than a few days. And interestingly, Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, there's a series of verses there, that he says sometimes people become angry when we instruct renunciation. And he gave the example that when he had come to the West, he had many young disciples. And sometimes their parents became angry because they were instructed to give up their materialistic ways of life. Parents wanted them to sometimes take up their business, or they had some materialistic ambition for them to achieve a nice family, for them to have a good position in society, take over the business, get a good education. And when Prabhupada came to the West, many young people dropped out of the mainstream current of material life. So sometimes the parents became very angry and even tried to kidnap their children. There's a whole history there. So Prabhupada writes about this and says that maybe the parents of my young disciples have also cursed me that I can't stay in any one place very long and I have to travel. We heard also that Prabhupada used to complain that whenever he traveled, that they'd always fixed up his room, and every room he went to stay in smelled like fresh paint. So he always complained everywhere he went, smelled like fresh. He could never get a place that didn't have odors of ether and alcohol in it. So this was kind of a curse, but Prabhupada writes in the purports that now he was saying, in my old age, I want to transfer this curse to my disciples, especially to my brahmacharis, sannyasis. I want them to travel all over the world and stay in one place for only a few days so that I can continue my translating work. I can sit in one place very peacefully and translate and produce these books, which he was instructed to do by his Guru Maharaj. Of course, as Prabhupada once said, I practically had to walk through fire to start this movement. He really didn't get much of a chance to retire. He kind of wrote on the fly, you might say, and didn't really get that opportunity. But nonetheless, he translated perfectly for, as he said, the next 10,000 years. The constitution would be the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Daksha was very disturbed at this. Narada Muni, he was powerful enough to counter-curse Daksha and do anything he wanted, but he, as also a great soul who felt very humble, like Lord Shiva and like the other great sages, he accepted very nicely, just like Chitraketu. He was also cursed to become a demon. He accepted it very nicely. Didn't care. Whatever you say is the right thing for me. I deserve it. Of course, Daksha, he didn't realize, in anger is said to destroy the good qualities of human beings. Didn't realize that actually Narada Muni was not in violation of the Shastras. Although one is obligated, if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, these obligations are fulfilled. And if one of the obligations to the sages, to fulfill those obligations to the sages, is to be brahmachari, to fulfill a vow of brahmachari. That's one way that the sages, the great sages of yore, are fulfilled. Although to fulfill the obligations to one's parents, one is meant to have progeny, and one is meant to undergo certain austerities to satisfy the demigods. But to satisfy sages, one can undergo the vow of brahmacharya. So Narada Muni wasn't actually violating the Vedic Shastras. He was fulfilling one of the important injunctions. And by Krishna's arrangement, the order of Lord Vishnu that Daksha would